Rocky had asked a question, so let me answer it to everybody. On the review, what I'd like you to do is, as you go through this, you're going to find some cases a New Testament reference is left blank, some cases an Old Testament reference is left blank. The idea is to, if I give you an Old Testament reference, find one, all you need is one New Testament reference that covers that prophecy, and then what is the gist of the prophecy? You don't have to worry, write a book, basic aspects of the prophecy. Some of these we've covered, some of them we haven't. And so, in some ways it's a review, in some ways it's a fresh material for you, but maybe not fresh, fresh in this class anyway. So I just want to make you aware of that. We will probably, we'll see how things go. I'm not going to make rash statements about when we'll do that. Let's go to lesson 12. I want to talk about types and figures. I've got a book at home by a fellow by the name of Leach, Benjamin Leach. And it is on preaching from the types and metaphors of the Bible. And it's a book probably about as big as a large Bible as far as the dimensions, this way and this way. And it's 1,000 pages on types and metaphors. We're not going to cover 1,000 pages worth of material in this class. It just gives you an idea, at least among some, about if people have been right on this subject and go into great detail about things and how extensive the writing on it can be. We're just going to talk about a few kind of overview of this subject and just illustrative examples of all I'm trying to do. I have a quote which I for some reason didn't write down the source, but and it's a state. It's really it's a quote that I suppose is a little bit of a caution. It says the Bible furnishes abundant evidence of the presence of types and of typical instruction in the sacred word. The New Testament attests to this fact. It takes up a large number of persons and things and events of former dispensations, and it treats them as adumbrations, had to look that word up, and prophecies of the future, in other words, shadows and prophecies. A generation ago, a widespread interest in the study of typology prevailed. Laterally, the interest has largely subsided, chiefly because of the vagaries, this guy loves these words, the vagaries and extravagances which tended its treatment on the part of not a few writers, pressing the typical teaching of Scripture so far as to imperil the historic validity of God's word is both dangerous and certain to be followed by the action and the neglect of the subject. This author, whenever he wrote, I think, and you can see this, some people will interpret the Bible as 100% spiritual, which would incorporate types in that. You run into, or largely 100% spiritual, and you run into that. Some people will find a type in anything. We may find a type in something that's not really a type, even if we say this lesson, quite possible. A type, I gave you a definition out of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's basically, I'll give you more kind of a preference the way I like to look at this. A prefigurative action or occurrence in which one event, person, or circumstance is intended to represent another, similar to it in certain aspects, but future and distant. When you look at a type, you make a comparison, you're looking for correspondence between type and antitype. It doesn't have to be every single aspect of the type corresponding to the antitype to make it that coupling. But there needs to be something that is similar in aspect between the two. The word that you'll find in the New Testament for this translated type is this word tupos. And I mentioned there it occurs 14 times in the New American Standard and 18 times for Sally. Sally, you didn't bring it.
I know. And you don't come to class right over to my Bible.
You're not prepared. Bring the right Bible.
I'm used to coming from a different place.
But anyway, we'll look at this in the New American Standard, which I think everybody else has. John 20:25. What word, we'll just run through these, what word is translated in John 20:25 from this two quotes?
Well, I said imprint.
Okay, imprint. By the way, this is one place King James Version will have the imprint or print both in the hands and the side, whereas that's not a curve. It doesn't occur in the American
State. What's the word?
Tupos. T-U-P-O-S.
No, in John 20:25.
Imprint.
Imprint.
Okay.
Okay?
It's got nothing to do with a type, but it's...
No, it's just the word.
Yeah.
I'll make that point in a moment. Acts 7:43, how's it translated?
Images.
7:44, Acts 7:44, and Hebrews 8:5.
I heard that.
Okay.
Fashion.
I'm sorry?
Fashion. Fashion.
Okay. Acts 23:25.
Likeness type form.
Form type.
How about 6:14? 5:14.
I had likeness of type.
5:14 should have been down in his own line. 6:17. What's wrong with 6:17? What'd you get for that?
Four.
Okay. Yeah. Acts 8:23:25 and 6:17 form. And then 5:14 is type.
What's the word in Acts 23:25?
Form. Think. Go back and look at it. Own Bible. Do better by looking at 23:25, so 25:23, I suppose. It says, and he wrote a letter having this form. Okay? Then these other five, what is it? Five or six? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses. What's the word?
Example.
Example. Okay. And 2 Thessalonians 3:9? Okay, here's this word. This is classical, typical. Here's this word, tupos, which is pretty obvious, can take on different meanings, different translations given to it, of course, used in different ways, and yet there's one general idea that is common to all of these we've looked at, or at least the vast majority of them. What is it?
Image or a type.
Image is close. Y'all around it. Likeness. Oh, this is called likeness. Something is like. If it's pattern, if it's form, if it's image, it's like something. That's the generic meaning of this word, likeness. There are some other words that you're going to find when you're looking at types, and we'll cover these some examples of this in a moment. Three other Greek words, well, actually four, another one I didn't have in your lesson, that are expressed in the New Testament and carry this same idea along with them. One is, I suppose pronounced skia. You might look in Hebrews 10. It's for the law having a shadow of the good things to come. The word shadow is skia. And the word, the definition of the word anyway, is shade or a shadow, literally or figuratively. Does anybody know? I told you what adumbration is. Has anybody heard of adumbration? A-D-U-M-B-R-A-T-I-O-N? See, sometimes you just, it's funny how you run across words, at least I do. I don't have the foggiest idea what they mean unless I look them up. Like I said a moment ago, it means shadow. And that is a part of this definition of this word, skia. Of course, shadow, when you think about shadow, what's the connotation that goes along with the word shadow for us?
Form?
Form?
You have to have light to, you have to have one thing that would cast a shadow.
That's true. But we're not, I don't think we're really, I don't think we're dealing too much with light.
You don't see the real thing.
You don't see the real thing. It's a...
fuzzy.
Okay. There is a lightness there, isn't it? But it's not...
not clear.
Sharp, exactly what it is. And so that's the general idea that we get out of connotation we have of that word. Parable lay is the word that is translated as parable most places in your New Testament. In terms of its use in talking about types, it gets translated symbol, unless you're using the Revised Version, which it will use parallel, or figure, especially in 10:9 that I've got here. Hebrews 10:9. Make that 9:9. I haven't told my numbers this even. New American Standard, which is a symbol for the present time. That's this word parable. Parable. And Jesus teaches in parables. That's what this same Greek word is what's used and translated as parable. When we think about parable, what's the definition we use a lot of times?
And definition alongside.
Right, placing something alongside. And there's a similarity that goes along with it. And we'll give an example on that in a moment. And then I'm not going to try to pronounce the next word. You find that in Hebrews 9:23. It says, therefore it was necessary for the copies of things in the heavens to be cleansed with these. So the word copy. And again, it's a word that denotes, in this case, the Greek word denotes a sketch or a draft of something future. And so these are three words that we'll find applying, used, in turn as the writer trying to convey an idea that's associated with types in the Bible. There's the fourth one I didn't have in your lesson is this word is a takeoff of tupos. It's antitupon, antitupon. Look at Hebrews 9:24. We're essentially there. It's the word that shows up, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one. That's this word. And you'll also see, what's a word, when we think about, I guess, at least for me, one of the first things I think about when I think about type and type, I have to answer my questions. I ask them. It has to do with baptism. And maybe it comes because of the Old Testament, because of the King James, New King James, I think King James. I'm not sure about the New King James. In the way it translates this. 1 Peter 3:21.
Light figure.
New American Standard says corresponding to. Sally says, like figure. And so, like figure, connotes something to us in terms of the similarity and just in the way the translator took it. Okay, so that's four, those are four words that you'll find that are trying to convey some aspect of type in the Bible by various forms.
So what's the word in 924 that copies?
924? Anti-T-U-P-O-N. It's not one of them I gave you. It's one I don't
know. But what's the word in the name?
Copy.
Copy.
Yeah, copy. And I don't mean this to be... my intent here is not to be... It's not a Greek lesson. I mean, far be it for me to do that. I can't. The thing that, as we read through this, a lot of times the English will help us.
So you're saying this is the same word that is in 1 Peter 3:21?
Yes, 1 Peter 3:21, it says corresponding to. So as the translators go through and translate these words, you know, you and I as English readers understand the connotation and the context probably a lot better than getting tangled up too much in the details of the thing. There are a couple other words, having said that, that will show up, and I'll look at them as we go through here. I ask you to take a look at the use of the type antitype comparison in the book of Hebrews. Look in Hebrews 8:5. What is in this the type? What's the term that's used here?
Copy and shadow.
But you're not asking for the term, you're asking what actually is the copy.
The ministry. Either the law.
Go ahead. Okay, Rocky.
I said I priest.
Okay. Alright. So I'm gonna ask both on some of these, but this terms, this copy. You know, you see that you see in 8:5, who sort of copy and shadow heavenly things. The King James Version is one of those cases where it says who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Here's a type.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What does verse 6 then mean? I thought it had to do with the ministry of the covenant. The ministry. Better promises.
Yeah, look backwards for a moment. So now the main point, verse 1, now the main point is what has been said is we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty of heaven, the minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer forth gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. The who, I mean, I'm just going to focus on the who. Now, having said that, let me make one other observation. Maybe you all see this too. Although we're going to talk about line item comparison. In a way, some of these you almost stand back and this is one that kind of maybe makes an example. There's a system, I hate to use that word, but there's a system in play in the Old Testament. And you see in the New Testament various aspects of that being fulfilled as an antitype. And sometimes, because they are, it's an integrated, in the Old Testament, that service, the individual that does the service, the sacrifices of that service, the altar on which that service takes place, are integrated. They're part of a whole in terms of worshiping God. And so when you carry over into the New Testament, you see the antitype carried out in the New Testament, you see these facets as well. But they also are interlocked. I mean, let's think about Christ for a moment. Christ served, forgetting about king and all that, but as far as his service goes, Christ is high priest. He is the sacrifice. Okay, he is a lot of things all wrapped up in Christ, and that's all part of the service, the ministry of Christ. Yeah, Mike.
But reading verse 5, it doesn't say they are a copy of shadow. It says they serve a copy of shadow.
Fair comment. Now, you know, valid point.
You see, I don't know if a copy of shadow, if you can take any concept of the Old Testament, add something in the New Testament that corresponds to it, and say that's a type of any type.
I wouldn't want to.
You know, he's talked about a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and the idea there is maybe there's a type in any type.
Right.
But could you say the same thing about the Mosaic priesthood as well? I don't know. Maybe you could.
Oh, I think you can on that.
Does God in the Word there say that one is a type? You're born
on No. You're not. Look, let me back up. I mean, let me say this. You're not always going to find a statement made that this is a type. Okay? If we only look for statements that identify something as an explicit type, then you're probably going to be talking about, I don't know whether it's going to be a dozen or a dozen or two dozen types if it's that. And yet there are a lot of things that are typical. Just like David. I don't know that David is ever called a type.
I agree. Okay. See, on page 42, the second page of the handout, on point 5 at the top,
five.
Page, God designated.
Five. Wait a minute. Five.
The relationship of type and shadow
right
up in the prophecy. Under point A, you've got God designated. And I take that to mean what you're saying is that to be a type and any type, God designates that it is a type. For instance, you...
Nice. I didn't mean that to mean he specifically states that that's the case. That's not what I meant by it.
Okay,
I understand. And, you know, it's my clarity of my English language.
Didn't it say design?
Say what?
Didn't say design,
obviously,
that
look, to answer that question and come back, when God designated something, what I'm trying to convey with that is there are people or events or activities that the way God set them up, He set them up to provide a foreshadowing of what was to come. That's all I'm saying.
I'm afraid of this type and any type being just comparisons, because you get into the secular religious world and they got all kinds of types and any types, and it just kind of opens up almost anything you want that people can call a type and any type. So I'm afraid to call something that God didn't designate as such.
Okay. I think there are plenty of examples where that's the case without that happening, but I'm not going to, you know, be dogmatic about any of them. We're going to talk about Joseph in a minute, and I will only probably help make your case. Yeah, Rocky.
I think here in Hebrews 8:5, I mean, here I can have an example of a type to serve as a copy and a shadow. So now the question is, what's the type and what's the anti-type? What I looked at it is who, you know, that's a person. And so what was being discussed, you kind of went over the verses. Mike's got a valid point. It is the high priest who's focusing on the ministry of what the high priest does. So I can say 5 is a high priest and the role that the high priest is serving. And goes on and tells about how his ministry as a high priest is more excellent.
Let's just grant for the moment that 8:5 could be. I'll grant either way, because of this integration I was talking about. That what you're looking at is a shadow. This activity by these people in the Old Testament is a shadow of what Christ in the New, what Christ accomplished as high priest. Now, whether you want to make that correspondence tight with the high priest, I think there's ample evidence of that.
Well, it says on down in one of the verses down below that Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as it does the mediates of faith. Okay, so it's talking about this ministry that Christ would ordain is a more excellent ministry. That would be the anytime. So they serve something, but Christ has a better ministry. So I think that's the comparison.
Now here I'm going to make your argument back at you, and I'm going on.
That's fine.
It's not specified. And we deduce that, and I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. But the reason I'm saying a thing is not necessarily called a type to be a type. That's the only point I'm making on that. Okay? You have to look for types. And look, the system, put yourself in the Jew's head for a minute. And it's beneficial to us too. Put yourself in a Jew's head. As you look back over the Old Testament, going all the way back to Adam, let's get up to when Jews were around, the nation of Israel in particular. You look at all the things that were in place as part of the Old Covenant that was established at the time of Moses, and the events, the activities that took place, and how that was meant to, at least, prepare people for the coming of Christ, to be a tutor to people. People could look at the Old Testament in terms of the sacrifices that went on. What was the purpose of those sacrifices? What was the nature, what was the outcome as a result of those sacrifices and all that effort on the priest's part and all that bloodshed? And then they have the better come, which is what Hebrews deals with. And you have, I think, in many cases, the antitypes of those things that were foreshadowed in the Old Testament. In fact, I mean, the Bible talks about them being foreshadowed. But anyway, leave that with you. We're going to do this about five more times, probably.
Just a quick comment on the design.
On the
design, it's clear from this passage that it's designed by God. It says... This is just as.
Okay.
Verse 5. God set forth this pattern, and he wanted it to be a shadow of things to come.
Of course, there again, as he was about to erect the tabernacle, you see that when this pattern issue in the tabernacle is built, and then you look at. I mean, I don't know what the exact correspondence is in terms of the tabernacle itself. But boy, a lot of time and effort is spent on making the pattern. And that'll teach us a lesson, certainly. But that's really not the real. That's just a shadow of what was to be and what is now. Okay, Hebrews 10:1. Teacher's prophet, moving on. What word? We'll just stick with the word for a moment.
Shadow.
Now open up Pandora's box. What's it talking about?
The sacrifice, year by year, not made perfect. Verses, I put down verse 10, sanctified Jesus Christ's body, one time for all time. Forgiveness. First,
not
I thought it was sacrificed.
Here it is. And again, what's it say? For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things. And he goes on to describe why that is. True, look at these things, he goes on to describe why that is.
I don't think he's describing it. I'm looking at it flip-flop.
Okay.
He said, since the law is only a shadow, then it can never, by the same sacrifices, draw people near to it. Okay, so he starts with the basic tenet that the law is merely a copy of what's to come. Now, if the law is just a copy, then it cannot, by the same sacrifices that it offered, really do what this antitype, the real thing, is supposed to do, because it didn't serve that.
I'm not sure what I said. It struck against that. For the law, since it is only a shadow, that's not to say it is to say the law is a shadow.
Correct.
If that's what it said.
Correct. The law is a shadow.
How is that a shadow? I think what you're describing is how is that a shadow? What aspect of it makes it
not? It is how it's a shadow, and it's also the result of it being a shadow. Not why it's a shadow, but the result of it being
a shadow. It is a shadow because God made it that way.
That's true.
That's why it's a shadow.
But it's saying now the result of it being a shadow is it's not the real thing, and it can't accomplish those sacrifices.
Correct.
It can't accomplish.
Correct.
Okay.
One of the things that we haven't got, y'all, I should start with this other first. One of the things
I will be quiet.
No, that's okay. Look, let me tell you. No, don't. I don't want to lose the rest of class. Mike and I are not going to have a conversation to try to lose the rest of class. See, I left this to last for very good reason, in my opinion. This is not a simple subject. You already heard that. Okay? One of the things about types that just came out in this conversation, types, and I think we covered it. I think there's one we actually covered back early on. Always inferior to the substance. And that's just the point we're being made. It is always, the type is always inferior to the antitype.
And it's a likeness.
That's right. It's just likeness. It is to show something. It is a shadow.
If it were equal, we haven't gotten anywhere.
No. Right. Okay? It's twins. That point. All right. Well, y'all doing so good on that one. It's hitting 9-8. By the way, that's Skia. That was the word that's in there. Skia is the one we've been looking at. 9-8. What word did you get?
Signifying.
Let's look at 9-8. The Holy Spirit is signifying this. The way in the Holy Place has not been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. Okay. That really doesn't tell me anything until I take the next verse. Okay. And the only point on this is that, here's one of those words that direct us to something. The word's actually one we haven't covered in Greek, doesn't matter. But the next verse brings it home. What's the next verse? What's the word in the next verse? Symbol. Okay? In our King James Version of figure. And this is one of those cases in the Revised Standard that says parable. And so it's gives you the closure around the type and a type, or elaborates, please, if you please. One of the things, and now you got to think about this for just a minute. The use of the word parable. Here it is. Things in the Old Testament, some things in the Old Testament at least, when you think about this parable being a placing alongside for comparison, in a sense, what you're looking at a lot of times in types are what you might call Old Testament parables. You're going to see the thing they're pointing to actually ends up being in the New Testament, the anti-type. And that's why this word parable you'll find being used, this likeness aspect of it. And that's the word that's used here. That's the Greek word that was in this one we looked at, parable way. Hebrews 9:23. Okay. think New King, must be the New King James Version, says, I believe it says pattern. Anybody use New King James? Patterns? Is it patterned?
Therefore, it was probably necessary.
Yeah, copies.
It was therefore necessary the copies?
Mm-hmm. Right. Copies.
Yeah. Okay. Sally, you can tell us what King James said when he says. All right, copies. Here again, it's what's talking about.
I think it's talking about purification. Purification under the old law versus purification under Christ.
Under the old law versus the blood.
Sorry?
Blood of the old law versus the blood.
Christ.
Continual sacrifice versus one time.
Okay.
It's also talking about the holy place. It's talking about the way to God. And the high priest went through the veil into the holy, most holy place. And of course, and even the priest went into the holy place with blood. Christ entered into heaven itself. It's where he went.
I think the key, at least for me, the key is what was being done, what was being used to purify, what was the purification that was going on? You know, what was being used to bring about the purification? And what's the purification antitype?
Well,
Christ's blood. And so there's the comparison. 10:1.
See, that's what it's talking about. In 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices.
Okay, and then 24 though, talks about the place. I put down that, and then I got the reading. You know, it was not only just the sacrifice, but it was where it went.
Well, there's another type in that. The system, there are types. There's more than one type in that system. Okay? As we know, a lot more than that.
The whole system was a type. Because it was a schoolmaster to bring us.
Yeah, you just got to be careful. I think I understand. I understand what you're saying. I made the point. I think I said kind of the same thing a while ago. It's along the same lines. But you got to be careful that we don't take everything in the Old Testament and say, "Oh, this is a type of that." And we're gonna go look for the anti-type. I'll go back to my first quote I gave you. You know, you can find that there are people that went about finding types in everything. And that's certainly not the case. You all having fun with this?
That's a good first principle study.
I think after this discussion, I was right to put it where I put it. We'd still be talking about it probably. When it comes to interpreting types, and Mike pointed to this earlier. I'm sorry, I jumped over something on this point I want to make. 10:1. Okay, we've already covered the shadow. There's another word in here, not the very form, very image of things. That again, it is a comment that carries with it this likeness. Now, in this case, it's being used that to say it's not that, but it's another. It ends up being another word, but it helps us understand hopefully understand the English. God, in terms of this interpreting of types, we're having so much fun doing that. It is. I mean, God did. Yeah, I think when you look at the types that we can agree on, that God did set up certain things, certain people, certain events to be types. And we see those specified in the course of looking at types. Of course, we've already looked at God's using literal, or not literal, but prophecies that were literally fulfilled. We see that in Micah 5:2 is a simple example in terms of Bethlehem. And others, I think we looked in our studies at Ezekiel 37:24, where the Messiah is called David. There's another one doesn't have anything to do with Messianic. There's just an example, Isaiah 1:9-11, will talk about Israel as Sodom and Gomorrah, and people as the rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. So, you know, these are figuratively kind of things that we're fulfilled. We've looked at these through the course of our study in Messianic prophecy. And then others are the kinds we're going to be looking at as we go, you know, Lord willing, meet the Sunday, in terms of specific people, events, etc. There are some features that, and these comments are going to leave a little bit of room for comment in their own right. It must be a true picture of the thing it represents or prefigures. And true, you might tangle it up with two true meaning, having the meaning of an absolute correspondence with it. But that's not what's meant by true. This thing can be a sketch, but it's got to be fairly clear that this is a type and an antitype. It's not something off the wall, so to speak.
Wallet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, you know, looking at that word true, and I didn't know what you meant by it. You know, so, you know, I'm studying this without your commentary.
It wouldn't help you
anymore. No, it does. It does. The idea of true doesn't mean it's the whole picture.
Yeah.
For instance, you've got Adam in Romans 5 as a type of Christ. Well, Adam's a man of sin.
Yeah.
Christ is a Savior.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't even have known that in the Old Testament. You wouldn't have any. You wouldn't have the whole picture. You just know who Adam is.
Right. Good point. You'll see, I mean, take Aaron as, because we had this discussion model, take Aaron as high priest. Same kind of comments can be about Aaron, it might just be about Adam as well. But he is a rough figure of Christ, the service. He's a type, a rough figure in the sense of there's certain aspects of it, of his activities, that are representative of the thing he prefigures. Having to do with the sacrifice. But obviously his sacrifices are nothing like the sacrifice of Christ. So they're not true in the sense there's a one-to-one correspondence. They're not equal, as somebody said earlier. A type is, you know, God makes types. You and I can come up with all kinds of things, but in the final analysis, it's God that makes the types. And so our challenge is to figure out when any of these things are a type. And that's not always the simplest thing to do. Types always apply to something in the future. If it's looking backwards, it's not a type. And I mentioned earlier it would be inferior. The shadow of the type is always inferior. The type or the shadow is always temporary. Remember when the Jews were, or the Christians were trying to go back to the old law, Galatians, Hebrews, both speaks against that. That will not you turn back to the shadow from the substance as the result. The result of that is being lost in the case of our salvation. Okay, we will pick up, Lord willing, on 7.